Well, there's about 8 buffering systems that or pools the body needs, and one of the major is the elemental buffers. And so what I introduced to you are those specific elements in larger concentrations, such as zinc, magnesium, manganese, calcium, elemental sodium that carries the negative charge, not with the chloride, okay, that you can get just by eating and juicing celery. It's a great source for elemental sodium that carries that electrical frequency that's helpful to the body. But these particular elements act as chelators. Now, that's a big word, but these elements will actually, because of their charge, which is negative, will attract these acids, which are positive, just like magnets, will then couple and then take it then out of the body. So they act as desensitizers or neutralizers of various poisonous substances.
And what happened for me when you gave me these was immediately this burst of energy that was substantial, because I was going out the equivalent of weightlifting continuously and having lactic acid, so I'm on stage going for it. But now those acids were getting out of my system. So instead of breaking down, I was staying strong. To this day, you know, I have a chiropractor that travels with me, and because I always want to be totally aligned, totally on target. He's been with me, I think, about 3.5 years, and I'll never forget, any time he's ever come to work on me, I've always had, like, weakness in my adrenal glands, for example. I've always had various challenges, and he always works on me to get me straightened out, and then I go. For the first time in 3.5 years, my adrenal glands were solid. Now, this has been about almost, 10, 12 months now, probably 10 months now since I started with your work. I haven't had a single day where my adrenal glands aren't solid. And it's not because I'm not using them. Mm-hmm. I'm using them like crazy, but mm-hmm. I'm not having all that acid beginning to break me down.
Right.
Let's talk about something I found fascinating. I got to spend 6 days with you recently, and I went through your blood class, which is filled with, you know, doctors from Russia and from Ireland and from all over the world.
Right.
Some nurses and some additional people here from America. And I got to watch the blood and see the impact on the blood. But one of the things that was fascinating was watching some of your patients come in and hearing, seeing their blood, the befores and afters. And one woman in particular I was fascinated by was the woman with a hypercholesterol.
Right.
Because we hear so much about cholesterol these days, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. But this woman has been studied by the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, since she was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. She's now 37 years old, to give you an idea. Her father, if I remember correctly, died at 42. There's nobody in their family has less than 400 points of cholesterol or above.
Exactly.
No one below 400 anyway. Father died at 42, I think. Her mother was at 40. Her sister at 39. She's 37. And she came to see you, I don't know how long ago. How long ago was that?
It's been about 4 or 5 months.
Right. I think when I saw her, it had only been about 6 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us the story. She's lost how much weight? And no matter what the NIH has done, she's never been able to cut her cholesterol down. They put her on no cholesterol diets, low cholesterol diets. Mm-hmm. Nothing would lower it. And what, tell us the story. What's happened?
Well, the result, she had 30 different symptomologies, of which over 25 of those symptoms were reversed within a short period of 6 weeks.
Wow.
Two of them were quite interesting. She dropped over 50 pounds in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And her cholesterol, the LDLs, dropped from 450 down to 230.
Oh, that is fantastic. How is that possible? I know the NIH and was the University of Utah that was also studying her?
Exactly.
I know they've been studying her. The NIH, as I said, since she was 14. I know they put her on low fat, no fat, low cholesterol, no cholesterol. Nothing has ever lowered her cholesterol, anybody in her families. How did you do this?
Well, good oils are essential. They act as a binder or a grabber of acids. And if that acid that's flowing through our arteries isn't neutralized, it'll burn holes in our arteries, leading up to something more serious, death. You literally bleed to death. And
right.
So the body's protecting itself, so it's releasing cholesterol to neutralize the acid so you don't die. And so it's a protective mechanism. Tony, if you don't have oils, good oils in your diet, you end up with an array of symptomologies that can lead to something even more serious.
Well, I've seen that in your lab when you've shown me people's cells who don't have enough good fats in their diet. We're so afraid of fat in this society because we think it's going to make us fat. And you show me these cells and they have such weak, membranes on them.
Right.
You can see it visually. You know, there's not enough strength. So what really is happening, I guess, is the cholesterol sent, you know, we don't consume any cholesterol. Our body manufactures cholesterol. We don't need any cholesterol from the outside world, right?
Right, exactly.
And so that cholesterol is sent basically to protect the artery as a binder, but if we keep eating in an acid way or living in an acid way, then it just keeps building up till the blood itself can't go through.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
Extraordinary to see that kind of result for somebody. Now, she's lost 50 pounds. That brings up something. Now, all of you who've been listening, now here's the payoff for those you don't care about health, but you care about fat, okay? Because one of the things that's amazing, I see people that work out so hard, and they can't lose those last 10 pounds. And everyone's told me, well, their metabolism's strong enough, and I've said, well, you got to get your metabolism up. And as I got a little bit older, I found, you know, gosh, I'm working hard, my metabolism's got to be high. How come, you know, I have to work that much harder now to get the same result? And what you shared with me is it's an acid problem, that right. If we have all this acid in our body retains fat. Why?
Well, it retains it to neutralize the acids. Here again, if the body doesn't retain the fat to neutralize the acid, it's going to burn holes in your veins, in your arteries, in your lymphatic system, in your brain, in organs that sustain life. So the body retains these fats to neutralize acids, and then it puts it on the thighs or the hips or somewhere where you don't want it, but it's a protective mechanism to protect the organs that sustain life.
So really what I've heard you say before is that, you know, a fat problem is not a fat problem, but
no.
It's an acid problem.
Obesity is not a fat problem, it's an acid problem. And most people just don't have the understanding of what creates acids, what types of foods. In fact, some of those foods which we perceive are actually alkalizing are actually acid producing.
Well, one of the things that happens also when people exercise like crazy to an extreme because they want to get that fat off is they actually are building up more and more acids. They're over-exercising.
And they use up their pools of reserve, alkalizing reserves, their elemental reserves, their fat reserves, their protein reserves. And so the body gets in a deficit, so it's going to retain fat to neutralize these acids. So that last 5, 10 pounds or 20 pounds you just can't get rid of until you go on a diet that's going to be more alkalizing, which I perceive as more green foods and green drinks.
Right, live green vegetables and so forth.
Right.
And we'll come back to that specifically, but it's interesting. So she lost 50 pounds in 6 weeks. Most people would say that's impossible. You can't do that healthfully. But the reason the fat was dropped off is the body had the buffers, the alkaline reserves, because you had her drinking an amazing amount of I guess, green drinks, some alkalizing, as well
right.
as some of the nutrients. Is that true?
Right. We call it super greens. It's a concentration of grasses and leaves and stems
right.
in a concentrated form, a 20-to-1 concentration. The reason that I put it in a 20-to-1 concentration, because it takes 20 parts of base or alkalinity to neutralize one part acidity to maintain an alkaline pH of 7.365, which is necessary for all of our fluids within the body.
So let me stop you, because that was very technical.
Okay.
Again, on a scale from 0 to 14, 0 is pure acid,
right.
14 is pure alkaline. We need to be at 7.36, and it's so sensitive in the body, we would die if that varied how much?
Well, even 1 or 2 points.
Wow. So our body, in the bloodstream, so that we don't become too acid, if we have that, takes the acids out of the bloodstream and puts it into the fats as a binder, as an
right.
example. Or it uses magnesium, or it uses calcium, or it uses zinc as a way to bind it and get rid of the acids. So if a person is constantly putting acid into their system, even if they're just doing it by their mindset and their exercise, they're going to maintain some fat because their body needs it.
Right.
But there are some people that are extremely skinny and they have a really acid diet. How does that work?
Well, it's just the opposite of the same coin. Their pools are also deficient, and so they're not retaining those necessary fats or proteins to help build bodies, and their cells are breaking down because of excess acidity, and so they need to also build up the elemental pools and the protein pools and the good oil pools to help build and structure healthy cells. Every cell membrane is made up of a bilayer of fat. And so fats are critical for building healthy cells. And so we become deficient with this mindset that we need to eliminate fats out of our diets.
But the truth is, you said we need healthy fats. What are the healthy fats that you're describing as an example? Go ahead.
Yeah, some of the healthy fats would be like cold-pressed oils. And when I say cold-pressed, that would be processed under temperatures of 70 degrees Fahrenheit or less.
Mm-hmm. And you can buy those in the health food store, even the regular store these
exactly.
days.
Exactly, like flaxseed or sunflower seed or hemp seed or borage seed oils are excellent.
How about olive oil?
Olive oil is good. It's higher in monounsaturated fats, but what we're looking for is the long chain fats, the polyunsaturated fats, which are more flexible and pliable for helping to build cell structure.
Well, there was an article that just came out this last month that was published in many articles in many newspapers, but it was in the USA Today, and the title was Fatty Mediterranean Diet Cuts Heart Attack Risks.
Mm-hmm.
And what it went through is it talked about people with heart disease who follow this relatively high-fat Mediterranean diet lowered the risk of suffering a second heart attack by up to 70%, the study said. And it goes through and talks about how they did research on this Mediterranean diet that was much more fat. They were getting 40% of their calories from fat or more. and saying that these people were more healthy than the people who are on the traditional American Heart Association mm-hmm. Diet of 30% of calories or less from fat. Now, the American Heart Association is still sticking by their current recommendations, it says here, but now the scientists are having a big argument about this, saying mm-hmm. that's really important. And in light of what you've described here, sounds like we need to at least look at getting healthy fats. Like, I have people say, oh, I can't have avocado. It'll make me get fat, you know, and yet avocado is absolutely amazing in what it does for your body in terms mm-hmm. of lubricating the cells, giving the cells what they need, and providing nerve energy, because I guess it's very high in megahertz energy. Is that true?
Over 70 megahertz or higher. It'd be like going without oil, like not putting oil in your car. Or how about the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz? What if he didn't have that oil in his joints? We start creaking and cracking. Those little creaks and cracks we feel when we bend down, those are acid deposits that have been calcified with sodium and calcium. And so we need to help our body by flushing these acids out through alkalizing and energizing the body through foods like avocados that can help neutralize but also these acids, but also provide a fat that's excellent for creating energy. It's a cleaner fuel when we're burning fat. It's kind of like burning diesel, which is dirty, versus burning these high-octane fuels, which is cleaner. So I perceive that fat is a cleaner way to produce energy than burning carbohydrate or even protein.
Well, what's interesting to watch what happens, you know, Stu Middleman, who's one of my mentors, and many people at Master University have met him personally, mm-hmm. he ran 1,000 miles in 11 days, you know, 85 miles, I think, on average per day. It's the equivalent of 3 marathons plus a day. Mm-hmm. He was sleeping only 3 hours a night, you know, running 21 straight hours. And his whole ability to do that was by keeping his body alkaline and by mm-hmm. burning fat specifically. He trained his body to burn fat, because fat gives you energy that lasts forever. Whereas sugar is like, the description I've heard is, like the charcoal is the fat, it'll burn forever. But that little flame, in fact, those phosphates that you see mm-hmm. on the end of a match is like, boom, that's like burning sugar. It's like lighter fluid. It burns up, gives you a lot of energy, and then it's gone. You have nothing left. But the fats allow you to burn through time. But you got to train your body to do that. And part of it, what he did was, he said, listen, if you don't eat fat, there's a thing called the law of mass action. You don't eat fat, your body doesn't burn any of it. Mm-hmm. And then so what happens, you have a little bit of fat and your body doesn't burn it. You live on sugar, which is energy that goes and disappears. So let's talk about now some of the dietary recommendations. What are some of the ways that we can alkalize our body? What are some of the actual foods to eat that will alkalize? And then what are some of the products that you have? Because I definitely want to promote those to people because they've changed my life. But go ahead.
Well, my wife is excellent in feeding me. She prepares incredible alkalizing meals. But your whole mindset has to change. Breakfast has to change.
Right.
Your diet starts out with broccoli, I think. Breakfast starts out with broccoli. I mean, broccoli is highly alkalizing, and it is approximately 47% protein.
So. Yeah, that's one of the things people always say to me. Go, but where are you going to get your protein if you're a vegetarian or if you just have a little fish? I mean, how are you going to do that?
And it's, well, 70% of the protein that's created is created within the body. We have pools of protein that are formed. It's formed at the anatomical level.
Right.
These proteins are built. And so food combining takes on a whole different issue.
Right.
Because most of the proteins that are organized from within, from without.
Well, you look at the strongest animals in the world. You look at a gorilla. You know, was it eating bamboo leaves and a few pieces of fruit? You know, it's not killing anything else to do it. And most of the strongest animals in the world with the longest endurance are all vegetarians. They're getting the protein from the foods mm-hmm. like the broccoli. But let's talk about that, because one of the things that I've taught people for years, that your scientific, understanding and demonstration for me changed me radically, and I stand completely mm-hmm. corrected, which is I've always thought of fruit as the ideal food because mm-hmm. it took the least amount of energy to actually consume. Mm-hmm. You're able to immediately have that energy for your body, and it was a cleansing food because it's mostly water, which is one of the things that I promote. But what I've seen now is that the challenge is we live in a society where we're consuming so many carbohydrates, so many sugars in our body, and those sugars actually create an environment in which cells start to mutate. Mm-hmm. The body's acid, those cells mutate, and one of the things that happens is we end up with a great deal of candida in our society. You can't turn on TV without seeing another yeast commercial for women, but it's candida also in all, both men and women. And what happened is I had a lot of that because it was, I guess the fruit was feeding it and it was mm-hmm. growing. So let's talk about, so I don't recommend that, by the way, anymore. I don't recommend fruit as the first thing in the morning, especially for people that they go have a blood test or they go see that they've got a great deal of yeast in their system, which mm-hmm. is unfortunately most of America. Why is there so much yeast out there in our systems? And, you know, mm-hmm. what are some of the other foods that people can have?
Well, talking about fruit, okay, like bananas, you've mentioned that they're high water content, and that's true.
But well, bananas isn't as much, though.
But they're also high sugar content.
That's true.
Like, for example, a banana is about 25% sugar. And that sugar cannot be metabolized or broken down quick enough, and so it goes to lactic acid. And that acid, if it's not moved out, will be bound by fats or other elements like calcium, so it's going to take calcium from your bone, or it's going to use fat and put it somewhere on your body, and that's why people can't lose weight. Now, I know that's probably hard to hear,
right,
but it's amazing when you eliminate high-sugar fruits out of the diet, you actually start losing weight. And when you put the low-sugar fruits in, like lemons and limes, which are perceived as acid, they're actually alkaline. And the reason why is because they're low-sugar, high-water content food. It's how the sugar breaks down that produces the acid.
I see.
Okay? And so the higher the sugar, more acid. The lower the sugar, the less acid. So lemons, limes, tomatoes, okay? And avocados, which are fruits.
Yeah, because they have a seed, right?
Yeah, even some grapefruit, the bitter grapefruits, are also alkalizing because of their low sugar content.
I see.
And so if we're getting a lot of sugar in the diet, that's going to ferment, creating excess acidity, and that acid's going to settle somewhere in our bones or our joints or our muscles, and that's where we get soreness. Inflammation is synonymous with acid. Acid equals pain, and pain equals acid.
So what I try to tell people to describe this is sugar equals acid ultimately for most people, and whether that be sugar coming from fruit or sugar coming from a candy bar, I mean, obviously there's a different type of sugar, a different way it's metabolized, but it still ends up having the same impact. Or you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, more than your body can handle, and that body, I should say, refined carbohydrates, and that body is then trying to figure out how to deal with that, so you end up with those sugars.